Go ahead and open up your Bibles to John chapter 1. I am feeling really good today. The past couple of days I've been fighting a little cold, if you call it a cold. I don't understand why they call it a cold. Like, I'm not cold when I have the cold. I got a cold. You want to be cold? I think that's a theory that is not proven. That's an unproven theory. You and your theoretical ideas. Careful, Jesse. If I preach for 9 hours and you fall over dead, I'm not going to raise you. But Matt Stinson will.
Yes.
Chapter 1. This is arguably my favorite book. Who are you arguing with? Myself. This is arguably my favorite book. Why arguably? He just puts words in there to sound more smart and intelligent. I had somebody I was talking to today. They said, I respect people who have intellect. I said, you lost me on that word, man. No, I'm not that dumb. But he seriously kind of did. You there? John chapter 1? Fourth Bible, the New Testament? Fourth Bible? Fourth book? The fourth Bible, the current day of saints. If you're not there tonight, we'll get you there. We'll get you there. Okay, you ready? I love this part of the Bible. It is very good. John chapter 1, verse 11. Oh, I just got set on verse 1. Why verse 11? Just release it, man. He came to his own things, his own domain, and his own did not receive him. Who are they talking about? Jesus. Talking about Jesus. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, your translation probably says authority, to become children of God to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh. That's good right there. They were born again, not of blood, nor of the will or the choosing of flesh, nor of the will or the choosing of man, but they were born of God. We could just start right there and just kind of think about that for a little bit, but we're going to move on. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Verse 13. Verse 13, yes. Talking about little children. Then they brought little children to him being Jesus, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought him. Them, sorry. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, well, so what's going on here right now is that Jesus is probably, he just got done talking about committing adultery and some serious stuff. And so the disciples, at this point, Jesus had already done some miracles and some good things. And so the disciples kind of, in some way, boast and find some type of pride in being his disciples. They feel like they're doing all right if they're his disciples. And so they're pretty thrilled with themselves. And so when people come around, they feel like they have this obligation to rebuke people. One time, Jesus and his disciples go down to the place of Samaria to the Samaritans, which the Jews despise, and vice versa. And so Jesus goes down to this place, and they didn't want to receive what Jesus had to offer. The Samaritans didn't, because he was going to Jerusalem, and because he's kind of quickly heading that way and was kind of passing through Samaria to go to Jerusalem. And so so they kind of get the Samaritans get kind of indignant. They get kind of frustrated, get kind of upset this Jesus was not going to hang out with the Samaritans. Okay? Oh my gosh. And so they kind of get this self-righteous deal. And so John and James get a little, you know, this felt like pulling on a nine and busting a cap, if you know what I mean. And they're like, Jesus, let us pray and ask for fire to fall down on these people and destroy them all. And Jesus is like, what are you talking about, man? Loosen up, you know? And so they kind of have this, they feel like they have this obligation to defend Jesus, which rightly they should, I think, to defend him. I think we're supposed to defend him, but it's in the right manner, of course. You should defend Christ, not with bombs and lightning strikes. You know, I hope you appreciate the sound effects. So they feel this obligation. And so, of course, when these people, the Samaritans, start getting frustrated, the disciples start going, all right, back off, little children. You know, could you imagine? Get back. You know, they're like kicking the little kids and stuff. Like, loosen up, man, this little infants. Because some translations actually tell us that some of them were probably infants. This little infants, you know. Can you touch my, you know. I mean, how horrible. These, he is grotesque. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest. And Jesus gets mad, it says. It says, he was greatly displeased and said to them, trying to come back down. Here we go. I'm sorry. Okay. Let the little children come to me. Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, tonight we are, as always, grateful for your written word, God, that you have given to us here in this day and age, and we can read it freely and worship you and declare you as our Lord and Savior freely without persecution. God, we thank you for the day and age that we live in and for where we do live, and God, I ask you to help us to be good stewards of what you've given us, God. God, we do love you, and we're honored that we're here tonight to be together with one another and to worship you and to hear what you want to say to us. God, I'm asking that we would not just be hearers of this word, but God, we would be doers. And you teach us how to apply this word, and that everything that I say tonight doesn't just go in one ear and out the other. But God, we would know how to practically apply the word of God to our life, that we can inherit eternal life. God, we bless you, we do love you, and we're asking that you might bind us with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. When I do this, now I got to go above the head. You know. Okay, see, that's unity. Unity, you know, that is unity right there. But some of you just think I'm weird. You know, why are they screaming? And so when we throw our hand in the air, you get kind of confused. Why above his head? You know, what sort of nonsense is this man? And so when I do this, hoopah, yeah. If you don't get it, you feel kind of out of place. And kind of, you kind of should, you know, because, you know what I mean? So I'm going to let you on a little secret. What I'm about to do is I'm about to include you who aren't included. That's deep sauce right there, girl. Okay, so you got to go to with me, because if I go there and you don't come, I'm just going to have to take a seat. So come with me. Hold on, man. So when I lift my hand above my... You guys didn't do it. When I lift my hand above my head, you gotta shout loud, like loud enough to where the fire people in the parking lot think that we're on fire. We're on fire. You ready? And look, don't get all religious. We need to be seeking the deep things of God, you know. Just release that religiosity and just shout. Yeah, okay. Now look, now the other part of this thing is when my hand comes down below my head, you got to be silent. Okay? You see what I'm saying? You got to be silent. And so you can't have just none of that. And if you're laughing, just Austin, just kick somebody. Don't kick somebody. He really will. Don't. He's sitting next to me. I've heard him say this so many times. I grew up in Willow. Way out in Willow. But now I'm in Anchorage. No, I really did. I grew up in Willow, and I grew up smoking pot, drinking. Sexual relationships, all that kind of stuff. Smoking first time at 13. I was always angry, punching things. I got scars to prove it on my hand. I was mad at myself. Didn't understand what life was all about. And at about 16, why about 16? At 16, the Lord moved on me. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, never went to church. I went to a youth group one time and thought nothing of it. I actually fell asleep. And I said, don't fall asleep tonight. Actually fell asleep, but I never went to church. I tell people that the only teaching I ever heard of Jesus was by my dad on Friday nights as he drank whiskey. And so that's kind of my depth of God growing up. By no means am I trying to pity myself, but that's kind of where I was. And so at 16, I ended up... giving my life to Jesus because he gave his life to me first. And so I responded and just loved him back. And so 5 years later, I'm here. And I've been, since those in those past 5 years, I've gone out to Willow again to spend time with my parents and my family. And they happen to throw parties pretty often. And I pray and I hope that they're not going to as much because I'm expecting that the whole family is going to get radically saved. Amen. One of my siblings did get saved, and now he's married and has two kids, and he comes to church here, and I was able to lead him to the Lord. And now he's one of my first and closest disciples, and love him to death, but that's another story. And so whenever I go out there, I kind of feel like you felt about 5 minutes ago when I lifted up my hands, and when you didn't... Too late, buddy, too late. Doesn't always feel awkward, and you're the one that messes up, you know? What a shame, you know? I'm just kidding. Gabriel, you're harsh tonight. I felt like you felt. You know, when you're like, when everybody there is kind of like 5'8" to like 6', and you're like 5'9", 5'7", you just kind of fit in, you know? But when everybody's like 5'8", and you're like 6'4", you're like, you know? You're like the skinny pole standing in the middle of the crowd. And you're outdressed compared to everybody else because they're in Willow and you're from Anchorage. And so you're trying to be modest and dress appropriately. And so me and my wife, I kind of stood out because here I am, 6'3", 6'4", with shoes on. And I step out there and everybody else is way shorter than me. And then I got this beautiful blonde woman with me. And she's, you know, a foot shorter than me. She would tell you she's 11 inches, but she's really a foot shorter. She's frustrated. Okay. So, I'm just kidding. She's not. We just kind of stick out, you know? You're just kind of there. Because everybody else is drinking and smoking and cussing, and we're just kind of like, oh, yeah, okay, we love Jesus, you know? You know, shining our little lights, you know? Jesus, you know? trying our best to act holy. You know, do you want a drink? No! It's 7-Up. Oh, I suppose. So, but I just realized right off the get-go, I stopped swearing. God had delivered me from a lot of junk when I first got saved. Drinking and swearing and all those, the desire for all those immoral things just died. And so I started finding myself as a person who just didn't fit in. You know what I mean? I just didn't fit in anymore. Now, you would have expected, let's say this. How about when I was 15 and I was out there, I fit in more than anybody. I set the tone. You know, he's crazy. Yeah, he's kind of weird, actually. Why is he doing that? He's standing on his head. I just did weird things, and I just fit in. I set the tone. I was a crazy creeper. And, creeper. Oh, my gosh. I just identified myself as a creeper. But now I just don't fit in out there. And some of you might have experienced that. You know, it's like when you get saved, you just can't be a good sinner anymore. You're just not a good sinner anymore. You're like the worst sinner. That's an oxymoron. I'm a bad sinner, hi. You know, I'm not good at sinning anymore, sorry. I don't really want to do it, I just do it because I don't know why, I just do it. It's called a bad sinner. And you just kind of just don't fit in, you know. And anybody kind of experienced that, you know, and you just don't really fit in. And then there's the other side. When I came back into Anchorage, I got connected, and many of you heard this analogy or type of analogy many times, being connected with, some of you might know a family, the Millar family, which is a family I'm married into, and some people call me Gabriel Millar because I'm so connected to the Millar family. And so when I got connected to the Millar family, my wife's family, they're a very big family, and very dominating, and did he just say dominating? Expressive and big. And so there was this one time where I actually went to the family reunion, and I'd only been a part of the family for not even a year. I think it was not even a year, right? Okay, let's keep going. Okay, so I went to the family reunion one time, and like the whole family was there. Everybody. And there was a few... for all intents and purposes, there was a few creepers there as well. And they weren't really part of the family. They were just people that were there, and they were all just kind of up in an attic smoking marijuana. And I almost felt more comfortable hanging out with them than... I know it probably wasn't supposed to say that, but whatever. And I almost felt more comfortable going up and hanging out with them. Not doing what they were doing, but kind of being there, because I kind of might have felt more fit in. Because I didn't feel quite worthy enough to be with this family. It's kind of weird. It's like, because this family, the Millar family, was a strong Christian family, loved the Lord, and was serving the Lord. And here I am pursuing their beautiful daughter who's saving herself for somebody. And here I am, and who is this guy? And so I find myself and found myself, not find anymore, but I found myself in this place where I didn't fit in the world, and I didn't feel worthy in the family of God. And I would go as far to say I think that's where most of you find yourself. And Christianity is kind of confusing to you because you know you're not supposed to go and sin, but then you don't know how to be included into the family of God. So you just kind of exist. And then that's why big churches are formed, because the bigger they get, more people come, because they can kind of hide in the back. And I'm not saying big churches are bad, not at all. I believe in big churches. I think there's one big church, but I believe in big congregations. I think that's good and helpful, as long as they're doing something that's very important, and that is including people and involving people and accepting people and knowing people. It's very, very important. But I would say that many of you know that you don't fit in the world, but then you feel not only unworthy to come in close, knowing relationship with people, but you also might feel unworthy to really experience the presence of God. And so what most people do is they actually come into the church And what they'll do is they'll just kind of exist long enough until they've done enough good things to where people can say, okay, come on. When what should really happen is if somebody gets saved, they should be just as included as I am. But for some reason, there's this mindset. It's called the mindset of an orphan. See? The mindset of an orphan is work-based. They live in a place called, I've heard it said, worthy world. In a place that is all based on doing everything you can possibly do to get worthy. Now, I don't fit in the world, and I don't really feel like I fit in here. So I'm just going to kind of stay in the middle until somebody includes me. And that's why there's so many people who flop around like a fish between the world and the Christian life, because they don't really fit in either one. They don't think they do. And because this is what's happened. See, what happened with me when I gave my life to Jesus, what really happened is that he gave his life to me and I just received it. Did you see what we read in John chapter 1? It said that he came to his own domain, his own people, but they didn't receive him. But to as many as received him, he gave them the right to be children of God. And then in Romans chapter 8, verses like 15 through 18, it talks about the spirit of adoption. That when you receive the spirit, you receive the spirit of adoption. In other words, you were once an orphan, but now you're adopted. And the moment that you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you accepted him, and that you embraced him, and that you received him, you were given the spirit of adoption by which you could call out Daddy. You received a spirit that gave you the ability to call God Dad. You are given the ability to call the creator of the universe Daddy the moment that you receive Jesus. Now, you got to understand this. You weren't just given the right just because your sins are forgiven. If God wanted to, he could have just wiped away your sins and not adopted you. Adoption is set aside from salvation. Adoption comes after you're saved. You were made right. You were put in Christ. And then God adopted you. And so the reason why you don't fit in the world is because you've been adopted. And now you have this new nature, because 2 Corinthians 5 talks about you being a new creation and that old things are gone and new things have come. And so you have a new nature, a new desire to pursue the things of God, and you don't want the things of the world anymore because they don't profit anything to you. They only lead to death. And so you have this desire to pursue the things of God, but then you start coming to the things of God, but you still operate as an orphan. I would say this. It's like, it would be like the heart of a new creation with the body of an orphan. And so what I mean by body, I mean your exterior, the thing that people see. You consider yourself an orphan. Okay, what's an orphan? An orphan is somebody who's been forsaken. An orphan is somebody who's been forsaken and is doing everything they can to be received again. But they probably won't show you they want to be received. What they will actually do is they will act like they're already good, and they'll put up all these defense mechanisms and act like they're cool. But really, they're broken because they feel rejected. Ephesians 1:3. All praise to God. You don't have to go there if you don't want. All praise to God, the Father. You know, there is one time where the disciples asked Jesus to teach him something. And they asked him, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? It's important to pray, right? And so they ask him to teach us how to pray. You know what Jesus says? I've been taught and told by many people that the introduction to anything you have is the most vital and the most important. And if you don't have the introduction right, you're going to lose everybody. So Jesus understands this principle. This is why he starts off his prayer with "Our Father, who is in heaven." It's like Jesus was saying, the first thing you must understand is that he is your Father. And if he's your Father, he's good, he loves you, it's his job to provide for you, it's his job to love you, it's his job to never leave you, to never forsake you, because he's your Father. Now, some of us might have a hard time understanding fatherhood because our fathers aren't the very best fathers. But see, our Heavenly Father is a good, righteous, perfect, just Heavenly Father. There is no wrong. There's no dark corners. There's no secrets that he does not withhold from his children. He is a good God. He doesn't show favorites. He loves them all. Actually, all are his very favorite. That's kind of the mystery of this thing we call Christianity, that all his people are his favorite. We serve a good Heavenly Father. And so Paul starts out, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1, he says, "All praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." See, this is an understanding that is new to an orphan, because an orphan thinks they have to receive something, but a son or a daughter of God understands that they're already blessed. You must understand something, that when you come to worship, you're already blessed. You're not looking for a blessing. You must understand something. When you go to pray and you go to seek God as children and as ministers in this new covenant and as people who are called to be the army of God, which is a whole other message, you are called for such a time as this. Don't think that your calling was an accident. Don't think that you were born out of an accident. There's some that lie that has sneaked in that you think you got saved because you kind of just accidentally fell into the kingdom. You did not just accidentally fall in. God grabbed you out of the world of darkness and he set you in the kingdom of light. You did not have an accident. You were not an accident. You are here for such a time as this. And you need to understand, and you must understand, I am already blessed. Say that. I am already blessed. As children, you're already blessed. See, children, what happens when you become a child of God, you inherently receive the blessing of Jesus. You know what it says in Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8 is a good chapter. It's probably one of the best chapters in the whole Bible, arguably. Great chapter. You could meditate on that, and you could get so caught up in God, and he just bless you. It says that God the Father loves you. This is so good. He loves you as much as he loves his own son. He already loves you. He already has blessed you. That's the understanding of a son. And that's the understanding of a daughter. I'm blessed. I'm loved. I'm sought out. I'm not an accident. I'm here. Because God put me here. Like it or leave it, baby. I'm chosen. God loves me. I'm not prideful or arrogant in it. But I know my God loves me. And I'm confident in that. He's already blessed. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Somebody got blessed. Jess, did you fall back, bro? Oh, he's right there. I thought Jesse fell over the bag. See, we can read all that and we can skip verse 6. Did you hear verse 6? Because verse 6 is the most important verse. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Who belong to his dear son. The crazy thing is that you belong to Jesus. You belong to the Father of heaven. You belong to God. In other words, if there was a lost and found in all of the world and the universe, and God was standing there and the devil was standing there, and God picked you up, somebody picked you up and said, "Who is this?" God would say, "That one's mine. That one belongs to me. Where I go, he or she goes." So much so that it says in Ephesians chapter 2, a chapter later in this same book, Ephesians chapter 2, that you are seated with him in heavenly places. So much so that Jesus said, "I'm not just raising from the dead, but I'm taking you with me because you belong with me." So don't try to get all your stuff together to try to earn it and find out how to get in there. You are already eternally in Christ. You are sons and daughters of the living God. You have a heavenly Father who is for you. Don't pity party yourself. Accept that you are a child of God. Amen. But for some reason, we still live like orphans. I mean, you're here tonight and you hear what I'm saying. And you understand what I'm saying now, maybe for the first time. But you go, "How do I live that?" You know, it says in John chapter 11 that Jesus died to gather his children. Jesus died to gather his children. He died so that you who were not gathered, but you were scattered, he died to gather you in. Yeah, I just picture an orphan. Picture an orphan. I was meditating on an orphan before the service, and I thought, "God, what is an orphan?" And you already got a picture of what an orphan looks like. And the Lord said this to me. He said, "An orphan, It takes time for an orphan to get comfortable being loved. It takes time for an orphan to get comfortable being unconditionally loved. It takes time for an orphan to just freely walk in the house and get some food. They kind of feel like they got to knock every time, you know. Can I come in?" Kind of crack the door open. Is this my house? I don't know if it's my house. They kind of tiptoe around. They don't want to make a creak, you know. They don't want to make noise in the house because if they make noise, then somebody might notice them. Maybe one of the other adopted sons or daughters who've been there longer, who are more accepted, might notice them and might say, "Hey, what are you doing?" So orphans have a hard time coming in. And maybe when they do get in, they kind of tiptoe around. They come to church and they see the people up front getting in the refrigerator, eating food and getting blessed, worshiping God and thanking him. "God, you're so good." And they wonder, "Wow, I want to get in the fridge." It's like the father went and prepared a bed for them, but they still go out and sleep out in the shack. It's like the father set up a table for them and said, "Here, have some dinner," but they decided to go outside and kill their own animal and eat it. It's like the father said, hey, when I'm done, because his kingdom is inverted, he gets done with dinner and he says, hey, why don't you kids go play? I'm going to do the dishes. And the orphan's the first one to jump up. No. I'll do the dishes. I'll help you. No, but I want you to go play. Yeah, I know, but I just need to help you. I need to serve. Yeah, but I want you to go play. I want you to go spend time with your brothers and with your sisters. No, I just need to go to my prayer closet. I just got to pray. What? Why? Do you want to come hang out with us? I just need to go pray. It's like the orphan does everything they can to get accepted and included. But you know what the son does and the daughter does? And I'm not talking about the son and the daughter who have been there for a long time. They shouldn't be any more confident than the one who walked in the first day. That's important for you to understand. Just because I've been here 5 years in God's house does not mean I should be more confident than you are. And if that's the case, then we're not living in Christianity. We're living in our own made-up religion called works. The works world, the worthy world. Okay, now you come on in. Now you about 4 years later, you're going to feel really good about yourself. People are really going to start accepting. If you get up and you do some kind of ministry, then they're really going to give you the big star and say, 100% dog, get in the fridge. You know? What is that? No. See, the son and the daughter, they run. They don't know what knocking means. They don't know what it means to knock anymore. It's like the door's always open. It's like they can run in at any time and make all the food they want. It's my type of heaven right there. It's like at any moment, at any time, they can run into daddy's room and say, Daddy, I got a problem. I need some help. What is it? Well, I'm in debt. I need some money. Well, here you go. You need to take some extra. Thanks, Pops. Love you. But the orphan's still kind of creaking. Phew. Why is everybody running? See, the orphan gets caught up in saying, God, I need you to bless me, God. God, I want to be received. The orphan prays things like this. God, I pray that you'd receive your people tonight. But the son says, God, I thank you. Your people are already accepted and received tonight. God, I thank you that your people are already blessed tonight. God, I thank you that you've already given them every good gift, God. And God, I thank you that you've already poured out your whole Holy Spirit. Not just part of the Holy Ghost. You've given him the whole Holy Spirit in all of its measure. All of the fullness of God dwells within the bodily form of human, of us, as Christians. Well, you know, when I turn 26 and I've been saved for 10 years, then I'm going to get more of God's power within me. No, you're just going to learn how to use it a little bit better. Sons and daughters, run. You know, I love this story in Mark chapter 10. Let the little children come to me. If I could, and I feel like I do, if I could hear from God and I could hear what he was saying tonight, and if I could even see him, I guess I would say I see him standing off of the throne. Now, you got to understand something. God does not just stand off the throne, and that doesn't remove his sovereignty. It doesn't remove his power. But there's one time the Bible even shows us that Jesus was standing up when the servant Stephen was stoned to death in Acts chapter 7. You know that story? It says Jesus was standing. And I believe that there's an hour at hand right now, and I don't mean to be very religious, but I will say this, that I do believe we're in a time where God is standing up on his throne and saying, let my children come. Don't hinder them. Don't stop them, because in my place is where they're supposed to be. Or orphans compete and compare with one another. Well, that person's been here longer, so they must really love God. And God must really love them. But sons just run in and say, I'm his favorite. I'm your favorite, Lord. No, I'm his favorite. I know, but I am too. You know? And do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. There is this great question in the church, and we're getting ready to go into worship in about 1 minute. There is this great question in the church. How do I enter into the presence of God? And I would say this, just receive the kingdom of God and you do yourself good. But for some reason, we keep, and I might offend some of you tonight, and I pray you'd forgive me, and I ask you'd forgive me. You know, I'm not even going to apologize. I'm just going to say it. Stop asking God to come. I'm just going to say it. Why do we ask him to come if he promises that he will never leave us? Well, Gabriel, we just want to, you know, are we just saying it to say it? I'm just being honest. Are we just saying, God, come so that we'll feel better about it? Is it like our prerequisite to experiencing God? Maybe you can come to me afterwards and tell me, but I don't understand why we say come. What I think is happening is God standing up and said, you come to me. Why? Because he's already come. He wants you to seek him out. And the thing is this, you're not left alone, because it says in John chapter 14 that he does not leave you as orphans, but he sent the Holy Spirit to you. So right now, the Holy Spirit is here. The God of the universe, by his Holy Spirit, is in our midst. And you know what he's supposed to do? He's supposed to lead us to Jesus. You know what Jesus does? He takes us to the Father. So it's this simple. You just receive it. Well, how do I do that? God, I'm blessed. And God, I thank you that I'm blessed. And God, I thank you that you love me. And God, I thank you that you sought me out. And God, I thank you that you're here right now. Take me to the Father. Take me to the Father. Would you stand with me? Come on, stand with me. Bow your heads and close your eyes if you would. He'll never leave you as an orphan. He'll never forsake you. He's always with you. He's always with you. He's always with you. You're already blessed. You're already loved. Come on, just receive that right now. In any position you can receive that, just receive that. You're already blessed. You're already loved. You're already accepted. He wants you to come into his house, to come into his place. You want to know how to do that? You just start out with confessing your sin. Confess your sin. There's something that you've done. There's something that you've thought of. There's something that has been done to you. Just begin to confess whatever it is that is holding you back from feeling like you don't deserve it. And no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter if you're a leader or you're not a leader, if this is your first time, I want you to do something practical tonight. When you feel, you know what? I'm coming. And you know you're accepted. And you know you're loved. I want you to come to the front right now. And just begin to thank him. God, thank you. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that I'm beautiful to you. Come on, you don't have to come all, you can come all the way around. You can step out in the aisles. Just come to step out of your comfort zone and begin to thank him. begin to thank him. God, thank you that you love me. God, thank you that you're for me. God, thank you that you're providing for me. God, thank you that you're on my side. God, thank you that you got a big refrigerator and it's all for me. God, that you've given me every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. God, that you're on my side. God, I thank you. God, I love you. Just begin to cast your love out to him. Tell him how much you love him. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. Come on, there's no hesitation as children. Children don't hesitate. Children don't question. Children don't get caught up in what they've done. Children just celebrate in who they are in Christ. God, we worship you. God, we worship you. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. Heavenly Father, we love you. Heavenly Father, we love you. Come on, just call him Father. He wants to hear you call out Father. He wants to hear you call out Father. Daddy, Daddy, we love you. Don't be weirded out about calling him Dad. Don't be weirded about calling him Father. He is your dad. He is your father. He is your provider. He's for you, and he wants you to express that heart feeling that you are his son and you are his daughter. Heavenly Father, we love you. Heavenly Father, tonight we as a people receive your love, God. Heavenly Father, we accept the fact that we're forgiven and that we're loved by you. Come on, with your own mouth, with your own tongue, confess. Tell him that you love him. Thank him for his love. He wants you to get comfortable with being unconditionally loved. He wants you to get comfortable with being unconditionally loved. There's nothing you can do about it. He loves you. There's nothing you can do about it. His arms are wrapped around you. There's nothing you can do about it. He's pursuing you. God, we love you. Father, we thank you. Children just tell their dad what they did. And they ask for forgiveness. And then they receive the forgiveness. And they go off and they enjoy his love and his fellowship. God, we receive your forgiveness tonight. God, I receive your forgiveness tonight. God, I receive the fact. I receive the truth. That you forgive me in Christ. All of creation groans for the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. Your own body groans for the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. Your own body desires to worship and serve God. In a moment, we're going to have the worship team begin to lead us in worship, but don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. And don't take your heart off and your mind off the unconditional love of God. He desires that you would thank him. He desires that you'd receive forgiveness. And that you'd let go of everything you've done and haven't done. And you'd start a new day today. That we would just receive forgiveness and move on. God, we don't want to be religious, God. We just want to declare our love to you, Lord. God, we want to thank you. God, we want to worship you.
I just feel like God is just saying that there's some people in this room that just feel like, yeah, God loves me, but it's out of obligation because he has to. And not so much because of what we're talking about, because he wants to. And there's a scripture in Psalm 18, I think it's verse 20, and it says, he saved me because he delighted in me. And I feel like God's just saying that to some of you guys, that he saved you because he delighted in you, not out of obligation and not out of anything he had to do or just because he's God, but because he finds delight in you and in who you are.
In this time right now, set your heart and set your mind to the things of God. Listen to him. He wants to speak to you. The traditions of man have kept us from coming into his presence. The normal traditions of singing the right songs and singing any song. For some reason we think that we need a song, or some reason we think we need some kind of thing to take us. He just wants you to sit and worship him with your own voice. He wants you to talk to him, listen to him. He wants you to thank him. He wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants you to feel comfortable with his love. And if you already know that you're loved, then listen to him. And if you don't know that he loves you, then let him love you. And let him tell you that he loves you, because that's what he wants to do. He wants you to come. Come and listen. Come and listen to me. Come and tell me your heart.